scripture back into 1 Peter. I feel like it's been a while, has it? 1 Peter, we'll be looking in chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses, just two verses, 8 and 9. But the title, the message title today is 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision. And so just the thought of that as we go forward. 2020 Vision. You know, the truth is, we stand here on this Sunday of a brand new year, again, I said of a brand new decade, and the thought of that, the opportunities, the possibilities of what God can do in a brand new year, is, I tell you, is one of the greatest ways that we can prepare is to understand having that 2020 spiritual vision for 2020, the year 2020. And one way that we can do that is knowing our enemy. Who is our enemy? Who our enemy is and who our enemy isn't. That's a great thought this morning. We need to learn those things. If you remember where we finished up in 1 Peter, just to recall, because we went through our holiday sermons, but we were back and we finished up just a few weeks ago. If we could sum it up, Peter was saying, don't worry, be humble. Don't worry, be humble. And he was telling us to cast our anxieties on, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you in verse 7 there. And then this whole idea that we are to grasp that God's going to exalt us, but it's to come in due time. And the one way that we are lifted up is that we find it on our knees, and going before the Lord and God giving us strength. And as we start this new year and this new decade, I challenge you to be praying more. What, you know, I asked my Sunday school class today, what is your New Year's resolution spiritually? What is your New Year's resolution unto Christ? And are we going to just do 2020 the way we did 2019, or are we going to strive to grow in Him and the grace and knowledge of Him? So let's take our Bibles, if we would, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and stand on our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. We're just looking at two verses, 1 Peter 5, and we'll be looking at 8 and 9. And the Scripture says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll speak to our hearts on this brand new year, this brand new decade. May Christ be glorified, and all God's people said, you may be seated. You know, as we look at our news lately, we saw another church shooting in Texas. Boy, safety committee, if I was on that, I would be diligent in having a plan why we live in that world today. Challenge you to have a plan in place, because the number one thing everybody always says, we didn't think it would happen to us. And so we live in a day that we have to have plans, make plans for somebody to come in. And what would happen if somebody come in here wielding a gun and shooting your brothers and sisters in Christ? God help that it never happens. But that happened in Texas. We saw that. We've got wars and rumors of wars. Our boys deployed, 3,000. I hope that we're praying for our soldiers as they go and are deployed into a tough, tough environment right now. A lot of things going on. And if it's very easy to get our focus on who we think our enemy is, isn't it? And the Scripture tells us plainly it's not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and rulers in dark places. It's Satan that we're going to learn about this evening. Who are this morning? I hope it's not evening yet. Y'all be ready to lynch me if it was, right? But listen, I want us to think about Satan and who he is and who he isn't, and the things that we learn about him. Hopefully it'll, that as Peter's trying to drive home these scriptures, remember, to a persecuted church, and it would be very easy for them to see these people that were persecuting them as their enemy, when they understand that Satan's the one behind and drives all these things. And so I want us to think about some three principles in knowing our enemy and having that 2020 vision this morning. First, it's our adversary. Look at verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You do have an enemy. You do have an enemy today. You say, well, I don't have any enemies. The Scripture says different if you're a child of God. You do have have an enemy. And I want you to understand something. This is not Hollywood. This is not something made up. I tell you what, our movies keep getting darker and darker and darker, don't they? Because this fascination with the occult, with the other side, these kind of things. And so it kind of desensitizes us to the real enemy. And that's Satan. It's not something that was made up in a Stephen King novel, okay? It was made up. It's not made up whatsoever. He was a created being, an angel of light, and he chose to rebel against God. And I want you to know he hates you this morning. God loves you, but he hates you. He's never your friend. Scripture tells us that we were enemies by nature before we came to know Christ. We were enemies against God by nature. But you know, when we received Christ, we got a brand new master. That's Jesus. But when we change teams, guess what? You put a bullseye on you. He hates you, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's called us out of darkness. Jesus has out of darkness into his marvelous light, and Satan hates the light, and he hates you if you carry the light. Ephesians chapter 2 says, when we were dead in our transgressions and sin in which we used to live. You see, I want you to understand something, that the Bible tells us that men and women without Christ, they help to fulfill the program of Satan. They help. When you see people and you can't understand what it is that they're doing, understand that they don't grasp the relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ. And if they don't have that relationship, I want you to know something. They're capable of anything. And they can be influenced. And there's an agenda out there. If anything you haven't learned over the last few years, I want you to know you can't watch TV without there's an agenda that's trying to be put across into your mind. Movies, books, you name it. There's an agenda behind it. I hope we've learned that lesson. And we need to know that and be on guard from that. This is not a make-believe character. This is not something that we just snub off and laugh at. This is something that we need to be prepared to battle in 2020 and understand what Satan wants to do in our life and how we should hate sin. Hate sin. And eradicate it from our life. And a lot of people think it's just ludicrous. They think it's a joke. It's a make-believe. It's an Aesop's fable. I want us to see something. Look at John 8, 42 and 44. Let's turn to that so that we see it. John 8, 42 and 44. I want you to see, this is Jesus speaking, okay? This is Jesus talking. Let's settle all issues about whether Satan's this phony, made-up, make-believe character that we don't have to worry about him, we don't have to believe in him, all these things that most of the world thinks. Listen to John 8, 42 to 44. Jesus said to them, and he's talking, he's coming against the Pharisees, who he's talking to, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Listen to this. Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John chapter 8, 42-44, Jesus speaking about the devil, Satan. It's not make-believe. It's not a made-up character. It's not something to keep you in line. It is the truth, and he has an agenda, and his agenda that we'll see is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationship with Christ. He wants to destroy everything about you. Why in the world would we ever not take it seriously? Something for us to think about, isn't it? Because I want you to see, Peter's pointing out to his readers the fact that we have a real adversary, and he is our enemy. And I want you to think about a couple words. First, his identity. Look at this. It says, in verse 8, it calls him an adversary. What is an adversary? That's an enemy. And when you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, one's opponent in a contest, conflict, or dispute. That's what adversary means. And then he says he's the devil. What does that mean? He's a slanderer. He's an accuser. He slanders and accuses God to man, man God, and he slanders man to man. He's a slanderer. He's an accuser. He comes before God, and he accuses you before God. Aren't you glad we got an advocate at the right hand of God when we're his child? Because Satan is an accuser. And then he mentions in verse 8 also that he is a roaring lion. Why does a lion roar? Why does he roar? It's an intimidation thing, a factor. He confuses. He confuses his prey by roaring. It makes them and intimidates them and confuses them on what to do next. He destroys, he devours. And I want you to think about that. That's what Satan does. And we'll talk more about, I want you to keep that idea of him being a roaring lion as we get into our next subpoint. Because this is his strategy. That's his identity. Let's look at his strategy here. He walks around. Is that not what verse 8 says? Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. That, you know what that word means? He prowls. He's walking around. In Job chapter 1 and 7, when the devil comes before God, and this is before all the God points out Job to him, he says, "Where have you been?" And he says, "I've been walking to and fro throughout the earth." Now, he's not on a leisure stroll. Okay? He's not just walking around like many of you are going to be doing as he gets, trying to lose his wintertime fat. That ain't what he's up to, okay? He has a point. He's going to and fro. He has an agenda. He's going back and forth, and he's looking for victims. He has a plan. He's restless in his search for victims, to and fro throughout the earth. Only a skeptic will see him as a fictional character. We're dealing with a roaring lion. I promise you, if you was on the plains of Kenya, and you were out one night, and you heard a roaring lion, you'd be looking for a tree probably pretty quick. Something to take serious. He's walking around all the time looking for a victim, looking for somebody that he can stumble. Think about that term again in the morning, that roaring lion. Back to that again. What does the Scripture say about Jesus? Line of Judah, Lee. The Scripture says that about Jesus is the Lion of Judah. That lion comes to do, seek and save that which is lost, don't he? You know that Satan, all Satan does is masquerade. He's nothing new under the sun. Why is that? He's a created being. He's created just like you and I were. He is not omnipresent, praise God. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful. He is a created being, listen. And all he can do is masquerade as the true Lion of Judah. He came to seek and save that which is lost. This lion comes to destroy and devour. Satan hates God. And he hates what God has made. God's made you. But understand, he's created just like us. God's a creator, and he wants to destroy you, and he's after you, trying to see what havoc he can wreak in your life. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. What kind of person or what kind of being is that? No goodness in him whatsoever. And two fears, really, I would think about as we begin this new year and this new decade, two fears that is that we become preoccupied with him. In other words, we blame him for everything. You've heard those people. Well, it's just the devil. Just the devil. We blame him for everything. And then the other would be that we don't believe he exists and he's just this illusion. Nothing to worry about. Listen, he is defeated and he is, here's the deal. He's defeated. It's as if he is waiting on the garbage truck of eternity, okay, so they can haul him and the rest of his bunch off to eternal damnation. But he wants to take you with him. He wants to take everybody he can with him. That's what he wants to do. That's what kind of being. He is our adversary. But I want you to see next our activity. What's our point in this? Aren't you glad that you don't have to fear him if you're a child of God? Aren't you glad you don't have to worry? Will he use you if he can? Yes, he will. He'll trip you up every way that he can. But I want you to know something. When you come under the blood of Jesus Christ, You have an advocate to the throne. You have the power that you need to overcome him. We're going to see that in these scriptures. Our activity, if you look at the first part of verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. And then the next part of 9, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. So think about our activity. He's our adversary, but our activity is to do what? First, be sober. What does that mean? First thing we think is, well, being sober means I'm not drunk. It means be self-controlled. Be self-controlled. Be awake. Be in control of your life in your world. Be sober. If we're not careful, we'll take verse 7 about casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And it just sounds like, hey, we're just casting on Jesus. Lay back, take it easy. That's what we want anyway, to be honest. That's what we want. We think that that's what we're supposed to be doing. But I want you to know he is around. He's around, and we have to have a plan. We have to have a way of overcoming him. We have to have a plan of action. I told the Sunday school class, aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. What's your plan for 2020? How are you going to grow in the Lord? You make plans for everything else. Have you made plans spiritually for 2020? Why? Because I want you to know your adversary is ramping things up. When you turn on the news, do you not see that? How in the world is it that we can overcome him and stand against him? Be sober. Be self-controlled. Next, be vigilant. What does that mean? Alert. I can't listen. Think about who's writing this? Who's writing this? Peter. He was at the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Jesus would be betrayed. We know the story. I hope we do. Know your word. What is the Garden of Gethsemane? He's praying. Jesus is praying. He says his sweat drops become like blood. He's praying so earnestly. You know what he told? What he tell his disciples? Watch and pray. Be vigilant. Be in control. How did that work out? What are they doing, man? They ate too much supper, didn't they? Oh, pray the Lord help Jesus. That's what they're doing. I can relate to that. It's late at night. You know what Jesus said? He said, the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. He said, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Listen, this is Peter. Peter, you didn't stay awake. And it wouldn't be but a few hours. He's getting bowled over by a servant girl, by a fire barrel in the garden. He's denying and cursing his Lord in just a few minutes because he wasn't diligent. Listen, this is not something to take lightly. We are to have a plan in place. We are to be diligent. We are to be sober. We are to be vigilant. Peter went to sleep. Next moment, he's cursing his Lord. It's Peter, one of the big three, inner circle. How dare us to think that we're greater than any of these guys. We're not. We have to be vigilant. We have to be sober. But next, he makes a statement about resisting. James 4 says the same thing. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, is what it says. Resist him. Here's the deal. Everybody, hey, you want to be a rebel? You want to be in a resistance movement? Resist the devil! Resistance scripture tells us to do that. Stand against him. Resist him. He is vigilant. Also, he's going to come to you. He'll come to you in 2020. So you mean, preacher, you can tell me, yes, he comes and he attacks because he wants to kill and steal. He wants to devour. He wants to destroy. Be on guard. How do we resist? I love what it says. Look at what it says in verse 9. Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. We are to stand for what we believe in. Are you standing for what you believe in? Do you know what you believe and know why you believe? You know, you can be very, if you don't, you can be very easily influenced. Man, you can get out away from your mom and dad. You can go into those colleges and they'll teach you that you're an idiot to believe in Scripture. That's what they're teaching our kids, by the way. That, hey, if you want to have wisdom, you need to shut this and go, hey, it's all about human understanding. And how's that working out, by the way? Use your senses, because they'll teach you that. Listen, I want you to understand when we see these things, steadfast in the faith. We stand for what we believe in, but we got to know what we believe if we're going to stand. Now, we stand in love. We don't stand wagging our fingers, but we stand in love and we stand in the power of Jesus Christ. And you've got a battle on your hands. You are not on a cruise ship, no matter how bad you want to be. Cruise ship's all about, let's go get something to eat at 3 o'clock in the morning. I think I have lobster. That's what we want. This is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship. And we're on battle stations all the time. Why? Because our enemy has a plan. And his plan is to kill and destroy you. That's what he wants to do. If he can make you slip up and kill your testimony, oh, that's a win-win for him. And it's not in our own tenacity, but on the basis of Christ. Well, what does Christ know about defeating the devil? Now, we know that he defeated the devil on Calvary once and for all, right? But I want you to know he withstood him in the flesh, in his human flesh. Matthew chapter 4. We see that Jesus led off in the desert. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you fasted 40 days and 40 nights? If you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you'd be, what, hungry? We don't know what it is to go 4 hours most of the time without something to eat. 40 days and 40 nights. Wayne, can you imagine? First thing, old devil shows up, don't he? He's at his weakest point. Listen, as a human being, that's about the point where you're at the point of starvation. You're about as weak as you can be, and that's when the devil shows up. Do you understand? He ain't going to show up when you're strong. Let's just put it in good old country vernacular. He ain't going to show up when you're strong. He's going to get you at your weakest time, and that's when he comes. What's the first thing he tells Jesus? Hey, if you're the Son of God, won't you turn that rock? Don't that rock look like a big old loaf of bread? Woo! Woo, yeah, some sunbeam right there. Just go ahead and turn it into to a piece of bread and let's have a picnic. I'm serious. Do you think, oh, that was easy for Jesus? He's hungry. What did Jesus say? And you know what the devil does? He tries to manipulate the very Son of God. And he'll even use Scripture. Do you understand? He will use Scripture in the wrong way, trying to trip the very Son of God. You know that he will use Scripture against you. He'll want you to take his Scripture, and they're doing it. But plenty of people doing that, by the way. Taking Scripture, making it fit into whatever they want. They can say, hey, right here, the Bible says this. This is the reason I do it. Did the devil not do the same thing to Jesus? He told him, he said, hey, did the Scripture not say this? And how did Jesus defeat him? How did he feed him? It is written. It is written. I want you to see that, please. One of your greatest weapons in defeating the devil. 2020. You want 2020 vision? Know your weapon. Know your sword. How is that? Listen, the military teaches them men. They can put a blindfold on, take their weapon apart, and put it back together. Why? They want you to know your weapon because it is what your life, your lifeline when you get into battle. Know your weapon inside and out. When Satan comes or when somebody comes and they're spouting Scripture wrong, you should know and say, it is written. It is written. When the world tells you that this is the right way and you're to love and you're to accept and do all these things, well, how do you combat it? It is written. Know your weapon. Well, you know, back over in Ephesians chapter 6 and all that armor of God, we don't have but one weapon, do we? Sword. It's very interesting when you look at that armor, by the way. There's nothing that protecting the back. Why is that? Because you're going forward, my friend. We're to be marching forward. Going forward in Jesus' name. If I could give you something for 2020, go forward in Jesus' name. There's no backing up. No backing up. It is written. Know your weapon. When Satan tried to distort the Bible, Jesus used it correctly. And you know what happened in that little incident? He fled. He left. Why? He can't stand where the truth is. He can't stand where the truth is. Know it. We resist based on his victory. It's not our victory. It's his victory. And he gave us a sword. He gave us something to withstand him. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He's given us everything that we need to overcome Satan and his temptations. I don't know about you, but that gives me much comfort. Why? Because I want you to know something. We're charging forward in Jesus' name. And I want to overcome the devil. I want to overcome my speaking flesh in 2020. I want to overcome myself. I want to overcome Satan and his attacks. I want to go forward in Jesus' name and make a difference right here in Todd and around the world, upstate, over at our community college in Ashe County. I want to make a difference right here. And the only way I do is I'm charging forward. I'm going forward in Jesus' name. I've got His Word secured in my hand and going forward in my heart. And I'm going in Jesus' love, and love conquers all, my friend. Love conquers all. But I'm making my stand. And guess what? It's not politically correct. Because the Scripture is not Jesus' way. There's only one way. There's only one way. That offends a lot of people. If it offends you, something's wrong. Only one. Resist Him. So He's our adversary, and we see our activity. But last, look at our advocates in 9b. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know what He's saying? You're not alone. You're not alone in this battle, my friend. In fact, that's one of His greatest weapons. He wants you to think that you're by yourself, that you're the only one struggling in this way. That's a lie from the pit. In fact, He says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're not. Look around. This is your family. This is your battle. This is part of your warriors that were in this thing together. Aren't you glad? These are our advocates. These are the ones that stand with us in Jesus' name. God's called us to this. Our supreme advocate, Christ, stands at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But I can look around this room and I can see my other advocates that stand with me in Jesus' name, and I can draw strength from that. You are not alone. And listen, the things that you deal with and the struggles that you have is common, as what the Scripture says to man. Don't let Satan put you out on an island and make you feel like you're all alone when you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, as Lee read today. I want you to see this. There are believers all around the world in that spiritual warfare that they're in. They're all in this battle, and Satan wants us to doubt like he did. What was the first thing he did in the garden? With Eve, and God said, don't touch of this fruit. You can have it all the rest, but this one. Why is it that that's what we're drawn to? You know what He said? Did God say? Question. Did God say? Why, He knows that if you take of that fruit, you'll be wise like Him. Boop. There we went. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to have doubts in our understanding of God's Word. He wants us to doubt God. He's constantly creating doubt. How do I know that? But the Great Commission, Matthew 28, the resurrected Lord, all the disciples had seen Him. Look, they had experienced Him. He even came to Thomas and said, Thomas, put your hands right here in my side. Put your hands in my nail scars. You don't believe? And they're up there, and He's getting ready to ascend. They're going to watch Him go whoo, right up into heaven. It said they came and they worshipped Him. But you know what else it said? Some doubted. Doubt is always there. And it's always going to be a part of our life. How do we overcome doubt? With the truth. With the truth. With the Word. We have broken hearts and we have weak minds. And the devil takes a seed of doubt that is in all of us and he uses it against us. Okay? That's part of his plan. He wants you to feel alone. He don't want you to tap into the resources of God's Word. He don't want you to tap into the resources of God's family. He don't want you to do any of those things. You have brothers and sisters in the faith sitting right here. And I want you to know something. We're going to have brotherhood tonight, and a lot of you ain't even going to show up for it because you don't need that. It's a night off for Sunday evening. We have great Bible study. In fact, we're in Matthew 8 with Jim. Studying on these things. You want to show up and come to Women's Day. It's another Sunday night off. Let's just take it easy. Go watch football or whatever it is you want to do, because you're not going to grow in 2020. You're just happy with the way that you are. And you're set up for the devil to just come along and devour everything you've got when you feel like you're so strong that you don't need God's people. And that's what you're saying. So, well, I'm not saying that. Yes, that is. It's exactly what you're saying. Because it's all about me. What I want to do and who I choose to do it with. And it's it's not. Scripture says we have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're needed here. You're needed here, and God put you here for a purpose. Not to sit a pew and right out a corner, but to go forward in Jesus' name and fight along with your brothers and sisters in Christ until He comes back or we go on to be with Him. Woo! That's what it's about right there. That's what it's about. He wants us to feel alone, though. You want 2020 spiritual vision in 2020? We have to face that this is the same old enemy that we've always faced, but we are not alone. And I want you to know that God has a purpose and He has a plan, and you don't have to be defeated in any way. You can stand in Jesus' name and overcome Him, His temptations, and everything He throws at you. Not on your own, but in Jesus' name. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing in this universe. It changes old sinful people just like me. We have so many coming behind us. One thing about it, I hear this, even people from outside this church talk about how many kids they are at this church. How many kids that we have at this church? Ted told me, he said, the nursery was probably the biggest Sunday school class today. Lord, they had to get reinforcements to come in there this morning. What is God doing right here? Do you know that you have a responsibility in that? That the way you do church is the example that you're giving them? Yeah. The way that you do church is the example you're giving them. You can say all day long you love Jesus, but your life will play it out. And you have a responsibility, man. In 2020, we should make it. We need to ramp it up because it's not about us. We got a whole group of young'uns coming behind us. And I pray to God He raises up people out of this group that'll go around the world in Jesus' name. And we're not going to happen if we don't get serious about it and make a difference and do something different in 2020. What is it God wants from you? Have you asked yourself that? Because we have an enemy. We have activity. We also have each other. We can go on in Jesus' name making all the difference for His sake. Well, applications and we're done. Come and play, Lynn, if you would. Number one, what's your New Year's resolution for Christ? What's your New Year's resolution for Christ? Are you just happy with the way you are spiritually? Or are you going to ask Jesus to do something He's never done? Have you asked Him that? Number two, do you really understand about your enemy? Is Satan just, hey, if he was just in... If he had red horns and a red suit and a pitchfork, dear Lord, we could all defeat him. He doesn't come that way. The Bible says he masquerades as an angel of light. He's the ladies, he's that best looking guy you ever seen. That's at work that seems to care about you. Your husband don't care, but he does. Satan. Guys, he's that good looking girl that's showing you attention. You're thinking, man, I still got it. Guess what? You better scratch your head and wonder why. Satan, that's how he works. He masquerades as an angel of light. He knows how to come to you in your weakness, guys, gals. Do you really understand about your enemy? Number three, how will you help your brothers and sisters this year? How will you help? It's not just about being helped, but it's about help. And let's stand on our feet before the Lord. What's God saying to you? The altar's open. Ain't going to tarry long. What's He saying? Be obedient, please. Don't start the year off where you finished 2019. Be obedient. Just say, God, here I am. 2020, I want it to be the best year for me spiritually. I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. The altar's open. I'm not going to beg whatever God's saying to you. Are you ready for the attacks of the devil? What's God saying to you? Do you know you have a relationship with Christ? Do you know that Jesus dwells within you? If not, Christ is waiting on you right here. In the midst of your brothers and sisters, you become a brother and sister when you receive Christ. What is He saying to you? God's here. Christ is here. What does He want? here praying, what about you? Don't leave here saying, boy, I should have purposed in my heart. I should have made it public for the Lord so he sees I'm serious. Praying for that, because you're right. Don't think that battle's not coming to us one day, by the way. Okay? That's the battle. But understand who your enemy is and who your enemy is not. It's not flesh and blood. Love. In Jesus' name, but standing on the truth. Not condoning and saying you're willing, you can play Russian roulette with eternity when I'm standing in front of me. That is not love. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can lift up this, we know this boat, this thing that's happened. You hear Pam's heart's hurt, and if hers is hurt, there's many, many, countless thousands, maybe even millions, that are hurting this morning. We just want to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ to you. Lord, help this agenda that the devil has. Help it to be thwarted and people to come to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation in his name. That's our desire. Nobody's unworthy of that salvation. And so we pray, God, that you just work that all out in your glory. Help us to stand in love on the truth for your glory.